Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. From Matthew chapter 20 and the first 16 verses. For the kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a householder, which went out early in the morning to hire laborers into his vineyard. And when he agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. And he went out about the third hour, and he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right I will give you. And they went their way. And again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And again about the eleventh hour he went out, and found others standing idle, and saith unto them, Why stand ye here idle all the day? And they say unto him, Because no man hath hired us. He saith unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, Call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the eleventh hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the goodman of the house, saying, These last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, Friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst thou not agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as I have done unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Now this is one of nearly 50 allegorical, figurative, and parabolic teachings recorded about Jesus. He often taught with parables in order to create understanding among those who desired the truth, but at the same time it would allow those whose minds were closed to remain in darkness. There have been various definitions of a parable. It is a comparison between what is familiar in the physical facts and situations with certain spiritual truths. It's not a mere fable, that is, a make-believe, and something that is essentially of the earth, but the parable looks heavenward. It's not a myth which can be a vehicle of truth, but it's not the truth itself. A parable speaks of what is realistic, what is actual, something that either has happened or it could happen. It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning, and usually it contains one, possibly two, major lessons. One of the mistakes and dangers regarding parables that we might make is to make more of the parable than what was intended in trying to assign some deep significance to every minute element of it. Inconsistencies and contradictions can be created by doing this. But this parable teaches us regarding the kingdom, which is the church. It teaches us something about those in the church. The major comparisons might be listed as the householder or Christ, the vineyard or his kingdom or the church and the place of service to the master, the laborers who are Christians called to his work, and the marketplace as the world from which laborers are called, and the reward, which represents the blessings given through Christ, even life eternal. Now the parable emphasizes the authority of Christ as the householder. He is the one who calls others into service. The vineyard is his. He determines the reward. There is none superior to him. The Lord desires workers in his vineyard, and he seeks people to serve him. He calls them from the sinful idleness of the world by the message of the gospel, and motivates them by offering unto them a reward. The potential reward is one of the motives for serving God, along with the motive of escaping punishment. Of course, the highest motive for serving God is because we love God. Christians serve by reaching the lost, by caring for the needy, by attending to the sick and the aged, rearing their children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, living moral lives, learning more and more of His ways, practicing that way in daily life, and encouraging one another in love toward faithfulness and loyalty to Christ. Another essential in serving God is worshiping Him. All worship is service, but not all service is worship. There are specific acts of worship that God has revealed in the New Testament that we are to do according to His will. And there is reward for the laborers. Matthew 5, 11 and 12 says, "Great is your reward in heaven." Paul wrote of the crown of righteousness which he and others would be given, 2 Timothy 4, 6 through 8. The crown of life is the theme of Revelation 2 and verse 10. But people must serve in the vineyard in order to receive the reward. The reward is not for those who remain outside, nor will it be given to those who may have served many good things, but were never in the Lord's vineyard. The spiritual blessings that God gives are to be found in Christ, Ephesians 1 and verse 3. One cannot labor in the devil's vineyard and expect to receive the Lord's reward. This is why our labor is not in vain in the Lord, 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Now we take note that laborers were hired at different hours. This is analogous to people obeying the gospel at different times in life. Some come to Christ in the days of youth, some in the middle years, others toward the sunset of life. Reward is not necessarily determined, friend, according to the number of years spent in service, but according to the spirit of service, regardless of the years involved. Christ is certainly not teaching nor encouraging delay, because one soul is in danger of hell so long as he remains outside the vineyard. To deliberately delay would betray a wicked and unsubmissive spirit toward his service. As the song admonishes, there is danger and death in delay. Such would be contrary to the plea that now is the day of salvation, 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2. Nor does this nullify the impressions that there are degrees of reward and punishment, as other passages seem to indicate. We're taught how that the day of judgment will be more tolerable for some than for others. Some will receive many stripes, and others will receive few stripes. We shall be rewarded and judged according to our individual works, 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, and our works in life are certainly different. And neither is Jesus showing that it is proper for brethren to be jealous and envious of the rewards of others who may not have had as long to serve and did not serve as hard as they might have served. This is taking the parable beyond the lesson that is intended and emphasizing beyond propriety. The parable is teaching that we must take advantage of the opportunity to serve at the earliest hour that we can. Whenever that opportunity comes, we are to seize it. So long as there is opportunity, it is not too late, even though there obviously comes the hour when there will be no more opportunity. The parable stresses that settlement and reward is at the end of service, not before. And the reward is for those who labor, not for those who do not. Therefore, we must enter the service of the Master. We must enter into His vineyard as soon as we have opportunity if we expect to receive His blessings. The message of Jesus is an answer to the question of Matthew 19 and verse 27. "Behold, we have forsaken all and followed Thee. What shall we have therefore?" In verse 16, the rich young ruler had asked, "Good Master, what good thing shall I do that I may have life eternal?" And Jesus answered him and said, "Keep the commandments." The ruler later went away sorrowful, even though he had done that. It was because he lacked one thing. He evidently put his commitment to his wealth before commitment to the service of God. He was not willing to work in the vineyard, sacrificing whatever had to be sacrificed in order to labor for the master. It was then that Jesus taught the difficulty of the rich men entering into the kingdom. It was not that it was impossible, but it was impossible without God. One who trusts in riches is not trusting in God. Anyone can be saved God's way, but none can be saved any other way. Too many who are rich allow their wealth to mean more to them than God's way. Peter noted that the apostles had put Christ first, having forsaken all and followed him. Then Peter asked, "What shall we have therefore?" The Lord's answer was, "That those who enter into the labor of the Lord's vineyard shall receive the Lord's reward." This is a comforting, a reassuring, a hopeful, and a motivating promise. We close these remarks taking note of the phrase, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." This phrase is found three times in the New Testament, and with different senses. In Luke 13 and verse 30, it teaches that Gentiles as well as Jews would be acceptable to God. In Matthew 19 and verse 30, it teaches that those who the world may consider first, possibly due to their wealth and other measures, are not necessarily counted first with God. Here in Matthew 20 and verse 16, it teaches that those who enter the vineyard last, even late in life, shall be rewarded just as will those who entered his service early in life. But we must learn the main emphasis of the necessity, friend, of working in the Lord's vineyard and entering therein at the earliest opportunity. And how does one enter the vineyard? How does he answer the invitation to work? He is invited, he is called by the gospel, and he must respond favorably to that call by obeying the commands of the gospel, which include faith in Christ as the Son of God, repentance of sins, confession of one's faith in Christ and baptism in water into Christ for the remission of sins. Having answered the call, he labors until the end of the day, and then he shall receive the Lord's reward. And so I close by asking you, have you entered the vineyard? And if you have, are you laboring faithfully? This has been A Burning Fire. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.